me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Welcome back, lady listeners.
Hey, lady listeners, we have a brand new week with a brand new audiobook from Margot Scott. It's called In Too Deep. And we didn't have all of the audiobooks up on the website when I asked this, but I did ask, and I did like a little giveaway in our Read Me Romance Facebook group, Read Me Romance headquarters. And I said, what book are you looking forward to the most? And everybody said Margot Scott. So I was like, it's fine. I was like, it's okay you didn't say Alexa Riley. It's fun. Right? No, I thought it was really cool though. Everybody was really excited for this book. So I think it was the first one that was up there and they were like, let's just kick it off. Like, let's get it going. So yeah. So we're excited to have her back with us. She's awesome. We love Maru. She's so great. And you know, she's always so nice over emails and stuff. And I feel like I do say that a lot, but at the same time, I deal with a lot of not nice people over email. So I feel like I have a pretty good say on like who is and who isn't. So, but yeah,
I love that she is not afraid to use the word daddy all the time.
All the time. I was like, you know what? Like, you got it. Go for it. Yes. We're not apologizing for this. It's 2024. We're going to use daddy. We're going to use it a lot starting now today. So before we get into Margot's stuff, we're going to catch up a little bit. I know last week I kind of came in and like dumped a bunch of books that I had read. And now we're going to talk about TV shows because you and I were both saying that we had TV shows that we've been watching. So I want to know what you've been watching.
I watched all of Love on the Spectrum.
Do you love it?
I just adore it.
Is it like, not the sweetest?
Like, I can't stop smiling watching it. I'm like, this is like the best thing I've ever seen.
It's so wholesome.
It's so wholesome.
I know. I love
it. It's just so cheesy. And the one girl that's with the guy where they go to Africa.
Yeah.
She's on TikTok. And she kills it on TikTok. I just love her. She's like, I love him because he treats me like a princess. And we're going to get married and we're going to go to Costco and have pizza.
Oh,
and then she's like, and when we live together, we're going to have a candy bowl with all the candies we want on our dining room table.
Oh my God. That's so sweet.
I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just, the sweetest thing. Have you seen the new season?
No, I haven't. I've heard about it, but I haven't watched it. No. I think I watched the first season and maybe part of the second one, but
It's Abby. That's what her name is.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, it's one of those things where I forget about it. Mm-hmm. And then somebody mentions it and I'm like, gosh, that's such a nice show. I need to go back and watch that.
There's one guy that's like the best. He's like over the top. Like he's just so happy. And he's like, my life goal is to just spread joy. Like, and he's so happy all the time. I'm so like, God, sweet. I mean, what he's having.
I know. I'm like, what? Why can't we have more people like this in the world? You know, just those kind, sweet souls. I'm like, protect them from everyone. Mm-hmm. Protect them from the internet. Don't give them a phone. They're too kind. I don't want to ruin that.
Mm-hmm. It's just it was just like a nice palate cleanser. It was just like,
yep.
After, because I've been on like a Reddit binge and that shit is fucked up for marriage.
Let me tell you.
And I'm like,
I know. It's like you're like start side-eyeing your husband. Like, what are you doing
they
over there?
They do, but I think it's just everybody that's bad posts or something.
Yeah.
I'm just like, holy shit.
It's the worst of the worst on there. But I will say, like, that's kind of how I felt about the Great British Baking Show was it just was so kind and wholesome. And it was a great palate cleanser between like drama, you know. Mm-hmm. So especially like Love is Blind, that's my reality junk show, you know, like junk food. And I love it. Like it's such trash. But I realized like the whatever season it was, I guess it was season 5 that came out recently, like a few months ago. And I guess I was told myself like, oh, we'll just wait till they all come out. And then I forgot about it. And Kevin had to go out of town for a couple of days. And I was like, hold up. I never watched this season. So I just binged the whole season and it's watched everything. Fun. I know it was great because I got to fast forward through all the bullshit. But like none of the couples like ended. I won't spoil it all. Because I mean, it's not none of them. But it was such a crappy season. And I was like, ugh. But then I guess because I watched it, Netflix recommended Love is Blind Sweden. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I saw the preview and I was shocked that there were so many women who were like normal looking, like that weren't like supermodels. You know, they were like normal size.
Do you think that's an American thing?
Maybe so. I mean, they were like, some of them were really dressed up, like in cocktail dresses and full glam makeup, you know, like that kind of thing. But like, most of them were like, had like, they were full figure girls, like had, you know, I wouldn't really say like plus size. They were curvier women. But they just looked like real
normal people.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guys were all like really good looking. Like they were all bigger guys too. Like most of them were kind of chubby. And I was like, yes. I was like, you have my attention. And I've watched like the first two episodes. I'm obsessed. Like, obviously you have to read with subtitles, but it is so good so far. Like, you know, just the couples and stuff, that the things they have talked about, a lot of it is like family and stuff. Like, I guess because one of the guys was saying like, you know, when I get married, my family is your family and your family is my family now. Like, that's a big thing. And I don't think that that's much of, not as much of a focus here in the United States. On the U.S. one, like there's like, oh yeah, you'll have to meet my dad and my mom and there's going to be drama and blah, blah, blah. But like with this one, it's more of like, no, our family becomes a unit and we all kind of surround each other. And so like that was sort of a different concept, you know, to have that. And like one of the girls was really, she had a hard time sharing the fact that like, her mom was really abusive and she, you know, passed away and stuff. And like her stepdad raised her and they're not super close. And she was like, so I don't really feel like I have a family. And she was like embarrassed to talk about it. And I was like, that seems so common here, you know? And I don't know if it's just like a cultural thing where like, you're more likely to interact with people who come from broken homes, you know, so to speak.
I will say this. Americans are more free with their words. They do not hold back. You know what I mean? So they say shit. Yeah. They're like, oh, she did this and that, where a lot of other places kind of, you don't say that stuff. So it's not openly talked about. When something's not openly talked about, people are comfortable saying it. Mm-hmm. We're here, people are like, my parents whooped my ass.
Yeah.
And I got issues.
Yeah. True. So I mean it's been really good though. I've really enjoyed it so far. So that's definitely one of my recommendations. If you like Love is Blind, check out Love is Blind Sweden. I've enjoyed it so far. I told my sister she's gotta watch it with me though. The other thing, it's already out and over. If you watch Fargo, did you guys watch that? I don't know if Rob watched it or not. Fargo.
It's a
TV show. It's on FX. They've had like several seasons of it and, you can watch each season on their own. Like each season is kind of a standalone.
Like 24?
I think so. It doesn't have the same characters though. Kiefer Sutherland's in all of 24. No. Like, each season is its own cast.
Okay.
So like it's a different, you know, it's a different one each time. Kind of like it's not even like
the American Horror.
Yes. Okay. Yes, just like that. So Fargo this past season had John Hamm in it. And do you know who he is?
Yes.
Actor John Hamm. Yeah. Okay. He was in Mad Men.
Yeah.
So he's oh my God, he's fine as fuck. Anyway, so you actually get to see his naked ass in this one. So it's worth watching. Mm-hmm. But he is a piece of shit in this movie, in this series. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. If you haven't watched it and don't want any spoilers, just fast forward. But Mel's not going to care. And I want to tell her about this. Okay. So he is such a piece of shit. He's like, he owns this huge ranch and he's like ultra right wing conservative. Like, my wife listens to me, you know, does what I say. I'm the head of the household. You know, he's like a sheriff or something. But anyways, he had this first wife who ran out on him. And
shocking.
I know, right? And so she got away. But listen, he has not stopped looking for her. He's married again, has two kids with this other woman and stuff, but is all the time been searching for this one woman. She like went underground, like, you know, like erased her history, started a new identity, like all this shit, trying to get away from him. But he was so obsessed with her. And I'm like, I should not like this. This is like my romance brain that's like kicking in. But he is so obsessed with her, ends up hunting her down and finding her and like dragging her back and like chaining her up in the house and stuff. And
what does the wife say?
She's just, he's like, you'll shut the fuck up and mind, is what he tells the wife. It's like, and she doesn't question him because he's like, again, the head of the household, crazy, abusive or whatever. But he's so mean in this. And there's like, but there's something about the way he's obsessed with her that I'm just like, I can't stop watching this. But there's a scene. Oh my God, you're going to die. There's a scene where he is like on the way and he's like decided he's going to kill her. That he's like, that's the only way I can get her out of my head. That's the only way I can end this obsession is I have to kill her. So he's on the way to the barn to kill her. And it's this one really long shot on the show. And there's a camera that stays like on his face the whole time. And the camera just slowly walks with him and it's on his face. And he's just walking towards the barn and you're just watching him. This song starts to play and it's like strings. It's like a, just an orchestra, but it's like a, you know, quartet. It's just like a cello and a violin or whatever. And they're playing it. I'm like, I know this song. And it's like somebody starts singing. And I was like, it's Britney Spears' Toxic. And it is so fucking haunting because it's just him walking to kill his wife while the song is playing. Kill her? And I'm not,
spoiler alert! You guys fast forward. I gotta know now.
No, he doesn't kill her. He gets away. She gets away, and he ends up dying. So, or he doesn't die. Sorry, she ends up getting away, and it's fine. But no, he doesn't kill her. But it's just so good. Like, I'm going to send you that clip of just, or I'll send you that song. It's on Spotify, but it's so good. Like, that version
of Toxic. I feel like we can write a version of this and for a taboo.
No,
like,
right?
But an AR-ish version.
Oh my God, that would be so hot.
Like, he's fucking psycho. She's like, okay, this isn't good, and runs away. He
and finds he's like, her. Dragging her back.
Write that down.
Somebody make a note. Somebody write that down. We're gonna do that. So yeah, that one was is so good. So okay, if you're back with us after the Fargo talk, I'm sorry if I spoiled anything, but yeah. The other thing is True Detective. I've been watching that this season lately. It's on HBO. This is the one with Jodie Foster, and again, each season. This is only the fourth season. The first and the third seasons are amazing. The second one's trash. We're on the fourth one now. It's awesome. If you've been watching True Detective, just give me a shout because I love it and it's so good. And I love Jodie Foster. And then the last show I want to recommend, if you have not watched it, it's called The Great and it's on Hulu. And there's only three seasons. They didn't renew it for any more after that, but it's got a good ending. So it's not like a cliffhanger. But, it is based on, oh my God, Catherine the Great, who is the queen. She's the empress of Russia. So this is like in the, I'm going to say, I don't know what century, the 1700s. I don't fucking know. But anyways, it's so fucking good. And you're going to love this, Mel. I don't, if you have never seen this, like watch a preview of it because it's so interesting how they've done it. And it's fun and it's funny and it's got dark humor and it's like lots of sex in it. And it's just, it's hilarious. But it's got Elle Fanning, which is Dakota Fanning's sister.
Uh-huh.
She's in it. And I think the guy's name.
Yeah, you name an actress I actually know today. This
is like, I know, right?
I know this one.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you see the new Nicolas Cage movie, Renfield, where he was a vampire? Did you guys watch that one?
My husband would watch it. That's like his favorite actor.
I know. That's why I'm like, I feel like you would know this guy if you saw a picture of him. Hold on, let me show you a picture of him so you can tell me. Okay, it's Nicholas Holt. It's this guy. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. I know him.
Okay.
He's hot.
Yes. So he's in this with Elle Fanning. So he is the Emperor of Russia. He's Peter the
Third. I've seen a preview for this. Now that you've shown me his picture. Yeah.
And so she is brought to him from Germany and is like, here's your bride. And he's like, great, you know, whatever. And then at first he hates her and he tries to like drown her and all this stuff. Like, and she's like, but then she decides this is my destiny is to overthrow him and rule Russia. And this is based, like some of this is based on like true history. So this is kind of like what happens is, but in the process of overthrowing him in these three seasons, he falls madly in love with her, just obsessed. And it is so good. It's just great because like in the beginning, he's just fucking everybody. And he's like, yeah, that's just my wife or whatever. And you think like, this is just how he is. He was raised to be this kind of emperor. But then it's like the more he gets to know her, he's like, something's wrong with my chest. It's like, there's an ache. And then you just realize, oh no, he is an absolute fool for her. And it's so good. I've watched all of it. It's just, it's fantastic. The characters in it are awesome. And it makes me want to write like all these stories as I'm watching. I'm like, oh my God, this would, it's just, it's great because it's all over the place, but it's funny. Like I said, and there's, it's sexy. And Elle Fanning is incredible. And Nicholas Hoult, like their chemistry is insanely good on this. So yeah, it's a great show. If you need something to watch, I can't, especially for a romance reader, like this one was, it was a home run for me. So it was good. That had a good ending too. So I thought, but yeah, those are my shows. Books. Let me get to that. When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole. I think I talked about that last week. I finished that one. It was really good. It actually had a good twist at the end that I didn't see coming. I will say, I think I'm a little bit biased when reading this because my husband's a city planner. And so like a lot of the stuff that was in the book that I really liked was when they talked about like gentrification. They talked mm-hmm. about redlining, like housing districts and stuff. And a lot of that is about the book. And so you actually learn a lot as reading because she throws in like some history and stuff in it. So that was really interesting to me, especially about the history of integration and stuff in Brooklyn and gentrification in Brooklyn. I thought it was really good. So there is kind of a little romance in it. It's definitely like that's like a very soft underlying thing that's happening. The main part of the story is like kind of a mystery thriller suspense. But the book I started today was Bride by Allie Hazelwood. And that was one that Mel and I talked about before. I love Allie Hazelwood. I've read all her books. I think she's really great. She's really creative. She's very intentional is what I guess the word, intentional on her writing and how she, in previous books like Women in STEM and Science and stuff, a really big feminist focus. Like I love her writing for that feel. And this one is a little different and it's sort of based around there's a vampire. She's a young woman and there's werewolves and they're trying to blend these two tribes so that they can have peace. And I forget the word that they use, but it basically is like a contingency, I think. Essentially, the vampires give them a bride to marry off to their alpha and the werewolves give one of their people to a vampire. So in the events, like it's kind of like a ceasefire with that, I guess. They were like, okay, if anything happens, I'll kill the vampire. And they're like, well, if anything happens over here, we'll kill the werewolf. So like, that's kind of how they've sort of like, that's their truce. That's how they've decided that they're going to have peace, that they'll give an important person. It's like the head of the vampires gives his daughter. So that's how they know, like, they're going to be nice to each other. And so she agrees to go in because she's looking for someone. And she thinks that the last place that they were seen was with the werewolf. So that's kind of why she agrees to do it to begin with. So it's a really interesting concept. And I like the setup for it. And so far, like, I'm only, like, maybe 6 chapters in. But it's really good. I'm loving the story so far. And I like that... you know, it's a little bit enemies to lovers kind of thing or whatever. And they're, you know, sort of different species, I guess. But his scent is driving her crazy. And she thinks it's because he thinks she stinks. So she keeps taking all these baths and stuff. And she just keeps smelling like better and better. And so like, but she thinks every time he looks at her and he scowls, when he smells her, she's like, I'm sorry, like, I keep showering. I don't know what it is. Like, why, you know, I don't know why I stay. I'm like, that is such a clever storyline to drop in there, you know, to just, like, have that sort of play out through their relationship.
I always love one of my favorite things when they do the vampire werewolf mm-hmm. thing. The girl is always the vampire for uh-huh. some reason. And
yeah,
is the how the werewolves are like disgusted with them, but then they get mm-hmm. in bed and they're like, is she gonna fucking bite me already? like they're where before they're yeah. like disgusted bloodsuckers, and then they're like, yeah, fight me,
just do it. I know, that's pretty great. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of this book. So I'll keep you updated on it. So that's what I've been reading since the last time we talked. So, but that's all my updates for right now. I'm trying not to give everybody too much at one time, but I blew my load on the shows because those are all great. So, but let's talk about Margot Scott. All right. So I'll read you her author bio. USA Today bestselling author Margot Scott writes boundary-pushing romances that range from sweet and smutty to dark and twisted. When she's not tethered to a coffee IV, dreaming up wildly inappropriate relationships, you can find her elbow deep in a garden bed or tucked into a booth at her favorite sushi place. She lives in her head in New England. I love that. So the book you're about to listen to is called In Too Deep. And I'll read you the book bio for that. Four hot dilfs, one string bikini. Candace is used to getting everything she wants. When her dad refuses to let her wear a new bikini to the guy's pool party, she sneaks one in with her towel. Why should her dad get to decide what's appropriate? She's old enough to make her own choices. But then her dad gets called into work at the last minute, and Candace is left alone with his four hot friends wearing a swimsuit that barely covers her assets. Now the sharks are circling. All that stands between her body and their hunger is a scrap of fabric. Her skimpy bikini never stood a chance. In Too Deep is just one of over 30 spicy age gap stories featured in the Sweetest Sin collection from USA Today bestselling author Margot Scott. So,
it's going to be dirty.
This is going to be filthy, and I can't wait. So, her upcoming new release, Insincerity, features a male-female-male forbidden romance between a curvy heroine and the two most important men in her life, her convict stepdad and her billionaire step-uncle. It includes hidden cameras, dirty secrets, and a very spicy conjugal visit. I love it. It's available for pre-order and will be live in Kindle Unlimited on February 15th. Margot Scott's giveaway this week is a signed copy of Sweetest Sin, the forbidden story collection that In Too Deep that you're about to listen to is featured in that. You can join her Facebook reader group, Margot's House, or check out her website, Margot Scott, S-C-O-T-T, where she has, she has a web store for signed paperbacks, taboo ebooks that are too spicy for Amazon. So all of her banned stuff is on her website, margotscott.com. So make sure you check that out. But yeah. Let's get into this one because I'm so excited. Yeah. I know, I'm so excited.
We'll see you guys on the other side.
This is In Too Deep by Margot Scott. Read for you by Heather Johns. You are not wearing that. I cross my arms over my swimsuit top. Why not? You know exactly why not. My dad mirrors my stance, his gaze narrow. It's guys' night. You're going to be the only girl there, and I won't have you strutting around in something that barely covers your ass. I roll my eyes. It's just a swimsuit. It's a scrap of tissue paper held together with dental floss. He points to my bedroom door. Go change into something else, Candace. Now. God, why do you have to be on my ass all the time? Because that's my job. And the only reason you're even going tonight is because you're grounded after that stunt you pulled with the car. If it were up to me, you'd still be heading down to Florida with your mom and the girls. I roll my eyes. Sure, being grounded sucks, but it beats sitting around drinking virgin cocktails while my mom and her friends guzzle vodka tonics and bitch about their marriages. I didn't even want to go on that stupid girl's trip, I tell him. If you don't want me to go tonight, then I'll just stay home. I'm 18. It's not like I need a babysitter. No way, sweetheart. I don't trust you not to invite a bunch of friends over to raid my liquor cabinet. He points to my room. Change. Now. Ugh. Fine. I stomp out of the kitchen and head toward the stairs. Just as I'm about to ascend, I hear a deep voice from the den saying, He's right, you know. My father's best and oldest friend, Dax, lounges in our big reading chair, scrolling through his phone. He and my Aunt Kelsey dated way back in the day, but she passed away before they could get married, which means he was never really my dad's brother-in-law. But we still treat him like family, and just like the rest of my family, he's always trying to tell me what to do. I march into the den. How is it my problem if your buddies can't handle looking at a bikini without coming in their shorts? Dax doesn't respond, but he insists on holding my gaze long enough to make things awkward. I fidget. My dad's reading chair isn't small, but Dax is a very large man, all bulging veins and hard muscle, and no worse for wear for having turned 40 this year. He rises to his feet and takes two steps into my personal space. He does this a lot, thinks he can intimidate me with his superior height. And it is superior.
It's your problem if you think you can parade around a bunch of grown men wearing nothing but a loincloth and expect them not to react accordingly, he says. One of these days, Candace, you're going to get what's coming to you, and you're not going to like it.
I guess it depends on who's doing the giving. His gaze narrows. We stare each other down until I feel a shiver ripple down my spine.
Better get changed, he says.
I scurry up to my room and slam the door behind me. This is so fucking lame. The only thing I had been looking forward to on the Florida trip was getting to wear my new bikini. After I found out I was grounded, I thought I'd at least get to wear it to the guys' barbecue. So what if it's supposed to be all dudes? At least I'd be able to take some selfies by the pool. Rifling through my dresser, I dig out my old blue one piece from the bottom drawer and smooth out the wrinkles. With a heavy sigh, I take off my red bikini and change into the boring one piece that does absolutely nothing for my figure. I study myself in the mirror, piling my dark brown curls atop my head. At least I still had on my bright red lip stain, the one my mom refused to buy me because she said it made me look like a hooker. I went back to the store the next day and bought it anyway. My parents think I'm a brat. Maybe I am, but in a few months, their opinions aren't going to matter. I'll be off at college, where I won't be subject to their pointless rules and expectations. I'll be able to wear what I want, when I want. It's going to be heaven. Staring at the red bikini on my bed, I think, fuck it. Why not start tonight? My family's going to have to get used to the fact that I'm no longer their little girl. I'm a grown woman with the body to prove it. The time for bossing me around is over. Carefully, I fold my bikini as tightly as possible and slip it into the bottom of my beach bag. I pull on a yellow sundress over my one piece, letting just enough of the blue show through so that my dad can see I've put on a different suit. Okay, I'm ready, I say as I walk into the kitchen to fill my water bottle. My dad gives me a once-over and then nods approvingly. I fight back a smirk. Dax grabs his keys and opens the garage door, and we follow him out to the car. We drive the four blocks to their friend John's house, then walk around the side to the backyard where their buddies, Eric and Mark, are doing their best to razz each other in the pool. Hey, guys. John waves to us from his spot in front of the grill. Glad you could make it. Glad to be here, my dad says. Thanks for letting Candace crash the party on such short notice. Of course. John smiles and hands me a soda. The more the merrier. Eric, my dad's friend from college, climbs out of the pool and cracks open two beers, which he offers to my dad and Dax. Good to see you, Dax. It's been a hot minute. Dax takes a swallow of beer and nods. Eric chucks me playfully under the chin. You too, kiddo. Now it's a real party. I roll my eyes, but can't help smiling. Nice to see you, Eric. Which one of you assholes is giving my drunk ass a ride home tonight? Mark, dripping wet from the pool, claps my dad and Eric's shoulders, his 1,000-megawatt grin lighting up the already sunny patio. Not me, says Eric. I'm crashing in John's guest room. What happened to your bike? Dad asks. Brakes went, says Mark. I'm bringing it in next week. Glad to see you're okay, my dad says. And yeah, sure, we can give you a ride home. Of course, my dad would offer to drive Mark home. As a doctor, he's cultivated a reputation of being the responsible member of the group. Mark's the fun one, Eric's the comic relief. John is somewhere in the middle, responsible enough to be reliable, but fun to have at a party, especially after a few drinks. Dax has always stood along the periphery, close enough to be in on their jokes, but far enough that they don't really know what he's thinking. None would admit it, but I think his stoicism makes them nervous. You guys are the best, Mark says, obviously a little buzzed. He turns his gorgeous grin toward me. I flash him a flirty smile. Of all my dad's friends, Mark is my favorite. If my dad won't let me have something, like a drag off his cigar or a sip of his beer, Mark will usually find a way to indulge me. One time, when I was babysitting at his house, after his kids had gone to bed, he caught me watching a video I found in his browsing history of a girl getting fucked by three guys. He wasn't mad, more amused than anything. I begged him not to tell my parents, and like the cool guy that he is, he just smiled and tickled my neck and said it would be our little secret. Chips are on the table, says John. Dinner won't be ready for a while, though, so feel free to take a dip. Don't mind if I do, says Mark. He jumps back in the pool. Eric does the same. John checks the status of whatever deliciousness is sizzling away on the grill, then cracks open a cold one and takes his shirt off, too. I've got to admit, for a bunch of middle-aged guys, they keep themselves in really great shape. Mark swims up to the edge of the pool, then splashes me. I squeal. You coming in, Candace, or do we have to drag you? Anticipation zips up my spine. Sure, I just want to hit the restroom first. Bathroom's next to the laundry room now, says John. Linda wanted a bigger pantry, so we had it moved last fall. I'll be right back. I hike my bag onto my shoulder and head into the house. Once I'm safe inside the bathroom, I strip. Off goes the sundress and my modest one piece. On goes the string bikini my dad forbade me to wear. It looks even skimpier than I remember. Thankfully, my breasts, though double D's, are high and firm, and I already had gone for a Brazilian bikini wax in preparation for the trip to Florida. I pose in front of the mirror, admiring my yoga-toned arms and flat stomach. My dad's such a killjoy. What's the point of working my ass off for a hot body if I can't even show it off? This suit looks amazing on me. The guys will just have to deal with it. Giddy with newfound confidence and the thrill of breaking my father's dumb rules, I strut down the hall and through the French doors leading to the back patio. The look on my dad's face as he catches sight of my bikini is all the vindication I need. Eric whistles. John does a double take, his gaze flitting between my dad and me. Dax frowns, his gaze gone dark and narrow. Damn, girl! Mark stares at my chest, his mouth tilting into a lopsided grin. That's some swimsuit. I pop my hip. You don't think it's too much? More like too little, says John. Will, you seriously let her out of the house like that? Absolutely not. My dad's tone is icy. His phone rings in his pocket and he takes it out to check who's calling. Shit, I have to take this. My dad disappears into the house. I set my bag down on a lawn chair and pull out a bottle of sunscreen, then start to work the lotion into my skin. Eric and Mark can hardly take their eyes off me as I make my way down my chest, between my breasts, over my stomach. Neither can Dax, though his gaze is less curious and more disapproving. The only one who's even pretending not to watch me is John. I hold the bottle out to him. Can you get my back for me?
Sure.
John takes the bottle. I hold my hair back. The feel of his strong hands smoothing the cool lotion onto my back makes me sigh. If Dax's look could kill, I'd be on the grill with whatever John's cooking. My dad emerges from the house, and John's hands immediately vanish. I expect my dad to start yelling at me, but he doesn't. "Hey," he says. "Sorry, guys, but I have to head up to the hospital." "Aw, really?" says John. "I thought you pulled a double last week." "I did, but one of my patients just took a fall. They think there might be some internal bleeding." He looks to Dax. "Think I could borrow your truck? You remember how to drive stick?" "I'll figure it out," my dad jokes. Dax tosses his keys to my dad, who catches them, then glares at me. "Don't think you're off the hook for this, Candace." I roll my eyes at my dad's back as he exits the backyard, then thank John for his help with the suntan lotion. After a quick swipe of lotion over my cleavage, I head to the pool, skirting Dax's chair and not bothering with the ladder. I dive into the deep end, then surface a few feet from Mark's irresistible smile. "You guys want to play a game?" I ask. Eric swims over.
"Like what?"
"How about Marco Polo?" The guys nod.
"You go first," says Mark.
I close my eyes and call out, "Marco!" They echo back,
"Polo."
I hold out my hands, moving in the direction of their voices. We call back and forth a few more times, but as close as I think I am, it's never close enough. "Marco!" I call again.
"Polo."
The response comes from directly behind me. I gasp as I feel Eric's arms close around my waist and something hard pushing against my ass cheeks. Another set of hands grips my hips, and I feel the unmistakable bulge of an erection pressing between my legs from the front.
"Polo,"
says Mark directly into my ear. My eyes flick open. Mark's smile is mere inches from my face, his gaze dark. I laugh nervously. "Hey, you guys cheated." Eric rubs his dick against my ass. My clit tingles, then throbs as Mark's cock pushes against my front. I know I shouldn't be cool with it, but it feels so good. I can't bring myself to tell them to stop. Mark ogles my chest.
"This really is some suit, darling."
"Thanks," I swallow. "I was planning to wear it in Florida."
"Then it's a damn good thing you're grounded," says Eric. 5 minutes on the beach in this getup, and you'd have dozens of guys climbing over each other to get their paws on you." "But you'd like that, wouldn't you, Candace?"
Mark smiles. His blatant interest in my breasts makes my nipples harden.
"You remember that video on my laptop? The one with the chick taking all those cocks inside her? You like that one a lot."
My face flushes hot.
"What video?"
Dax asks, his voice low and menacing like distant thunder. Mark and Eric release me at the same time, seeming to come to their senses. I have to grab for the ladder to stop myself from sinking to the bottom.
"Our little Candace snuck a peek at my bookmarks while she was babysitting," says Mark. "I caught her playing with herself over some hardcore gangbang shit." "Really?" Eric asks, his eyes glinting.
Dax folds his huge arms across his bare chest.
"Is that true, Candace?"
I look between the men, my cheeks on fire. "I was only looking at it for a minute."
"It was more than a minute."
Mark swims up to me. His hands dart out and start tickling me. I squeal and wriggle, trying to bat away his hands. All the twisting and turning makes my bikini top shift. My right breast pops out from beneath the fabric. "Hey!" I move to cover myself, but Mark won't stop tickling me. Then Eric rushes over to join him. I laugh and whimper pathetically, unable to catch my breath. I look up into Dax's eyes. "Make them stop!" He doesn't move. Eric releases the tie around my neck, and my bra top falls down completely. He grins.
"You getting a look at these, Mark?" "Oh, yeah,"
Mark chuckles, his voice thick with lust.
"I haven't been able to stop looking at him since she got here."
My breasts bounce with my laughter. A cramp rips through my side. I yelp.
Our little Candace sure has a nice big pair of tits, says Mark. Think her daddy would mind if I copped a feel? Dax shrugs. Knock yourself out.
I can't believe he just said that. Mark and Eric stop tickling me so they can hold me still. I bite my lip as a gush of pleasure makes my legs twitch. They pinch and strum my nipples. Dax! I whine pathetically. Dax, please! Dax just stares at me with a look of smug satisfaction. John comes to stand beside him, his gaze wary but riveted. I look up into the faces of the men surrounding me, men I've known since I was a little girl. I've slept over their houses, attended school with their kids. John's daughter used to babysit me when my parents went on trips. I can't believe they would do this to me.
You want to dress like a whore? Dax says. Don't be surprised when you get treated like one.
Mark licks my nipple, and I can't help the whimper that escapes my throat. Little sparks of pleasure ignite where the guy's fingers and tongues touch me, echoing behind my clit. This shouldn't feel good, this overwhelming attention, but it does. It feels wonderful. Eric gropes my ass, his dick hard and pushing at my hip from the right, as Mark's cock prods me from the left. I can't move an inch without meeting their erections. Let's talk about this first, I whisper. Not because I necessarily want to, but because I feel like I should. Eric cups the front of my bikini bottoms.
You sure that's what you want to do?
I moan as a dull ache of pleasure throbs between my legs. No, I'm not sure.
You want to fuck her?
Dax asks. My eyes go wide.
I mean,
Eric grins.
I wouldn't say no.
Dax nods toward the pool steps.
Bring her up here.
Mark and Eric hustle me through the water to the steps on the far side of the pool. Dax tosses the pillows off of a plush chaise lounge chair.
Lay back so she can ride you,
Dax instructs. Eric slips his swim shorts off and lays down on the chaise. Dax? My voice shakes. He ignores me.
Put her on Eric's lap.
Mark urges me forward, moving me like a mannequin, lifting me up and positioning me so that I'm straddling Eric's hips. His cock jumps, tapping my swimsuit bottoms and making me gasp.
Help her out of those bikini bottoms, too.
Eric pulls the string on the left, at the same time Mark loosens the right. The slip of fabric falls away, baring my hairless pussy for their perusal.
Damn, she's smooth.
Eric draws his thumb along my slit, wetting my pussy lips with my own juices. I whimper. It feels so good to be touched down there. His thumb finds my clit, and I can't help the moan that pours from my lips as he strokes me. He slides a finger into my pussy and hums.
See all that cream? Looks like she's more than ready, Mark says. That true?
Eric smiles at me.
You ready for me, Candace?
I'm so horny, I can't help myself. I nod. Eric guides his cock to my opening, then urges me down. I cry out as my pussy slides onto him, my muscles stretching to make him fit.
Fuck, yeah!
He grips my hips with both hands and starts to pump from below, rocking my hips in time with his thrusts. I push down on his chest, holding myself up so I can look at his face, and the faces of the other men around me. Mark rubs his dick through his shorts. John doesn't touch himself, but he's fully erect and clearly enjoying the show. I can't believe Dax is just standing there, watching his best friend's daughter ride a fat cock. He must be getting something out of it, though, judging by the huge bulge he's sporting inside his swim trunks. As soon as I notice it, I can't stop thinking about what it must look like, how thick it is, how it would feel to let him fuck me with it, like Eric is doing right now. The thought makes my clit tingle and pussy clench and release. Eric moans.
God damn, John whispers.
Dax looks at him.
What are you waiting for, man? She's got two more holes.
John takes a deep breath, then rakes a hand through his hair.
I don't know. Are you sure? I mean, she's practically your niece. The man I used to call my uncle before I knew better sneers at me.
Absolutely.
Suddenly, I get what this is all about. Dex thinks he's teaching me a lesson by punishing me for wearing my bikini when he told me not to. Well, in that case, he's shit out of luck because being fucked by a group of hot older men is my all-time favorite fantasy. If this is my punishment, then I'll happily wear my new bikini to every pool party for the rest of the summer. It's okay, John. I lick my lips. I want you to. He twists a lock of my hair around his finger, his gaze ravenous.
I guess it has been a while since I've had my dick sucked. Would you do that for me, Candace?
I answer him by teasing his shorts down. His cock jumps out, bobbing in front of my face. He moves closer so I don't have to adjust mine and Eric's position. I take the head of his cock into my mouth. Eric moans at the same time John does, his hands tight on my hips so he can drill me harder. I tease the underside of John's cock with my tongue and then take him fully, bottoming out with my chin pressed against his balls. His cock is shorter than Eric's, but thick. The perfect size and shape for my big, bratty mouth. Mark's dick pokes my ass cheek as he reaches around to tease my nipples. My pussy clenches, holding tight to Eric's cock as I ride him. There's so much sensation to take in from every angle. I don't know what to focus on. John's hand fists in my hair as he fucks my face, his hips thrusting in time with his grunts. I can tell he's close to coming, though I've only been sucking him off for a few minutes. Poor guy. I bet his wife hasn't done this since before his kids were born. Two hands spread my ass cheeks. Something teases my back opening, making me flinch. I stop sucking John's dick and glance over my shoulder. Mark's grin is devilish. Resting one knee on the chaise, he grips his shaft and wedges the head of his cock between my cheeks. Wait, I say, tensing with fear and arousal. I'm not sure if I can.
You can take it, sweetheart,
Dax says. As much as I'd like to, I'm really not sure if I can. Mark spits into his hand and lubes up his cock.
Just relax, babe.
Relax? How the fuck am I supposed to relax when he's trying to put his fat cock in my butthole? John cups my chin and draws my gaze forward. He strokes my cheek.
Just concentrate on what's in front of you, Candace.
He presses his dick to my lips as he speaks to me, telling me I'm sexy and beautiful, that my mouth is a gift from heaven. I close my eyes, trying to focus on my breathing and the taste of John's pre-cum. Eric holds my hips steady as Mark's cock breaches my asshole. My anus burns as he slowly works his way inside. I cry out around the dick in my mouth. After a few long seconds, the burning subsides and I can exhale. Seated as far as he can go, Mark begins to move, pulling back as Eric pushes up from underneath. I've never felt so stuffed, so receptive, so full to bursting. I let John use my mouth, too overwhelmed to do anything besides kneel there and take it in all my holes, from every direction.
Fuck, man, says Eric. I can feel you in there. It's fucking unreal.
Mark picks up the pace, prompting Eric to do the same. Of all the moments for them to decide to get competitive, I moan and gag, my body humming with pleasure unlike anything I've ever experienced. What I can only describe as my inner thermometer reaches a fever pitch, and I find myself tensing, trembling, struggling to keep still. I come hard, harder than I knew I was capable of coming.
Shit, that's beautiful, John says. Candace, fuck, I'm coming too, fuck.
Hot, salty cum spurts from the head of his dick onto my tongue. There's so much, I almost choke on it. I wait until he's empty, then let him slip from my mouth.
You'd better swallow that,
Dax growls. I look him in the eyes as I gulp down his buddy's cum.
Did she swallow? Mark asks from behind me. Oh yeah, she did, Eric says with a grin. Shit, that's hot.
Mark slams into me, spanking me with his pelvis as his cock delves deeper into my ass. He's relentless. I have to lie down on top of Eric to stop myself from being bounced right off his perch.
God damn!
Eric's fingers dig into my hips, but I hardly notice the sting.
You're so tight, Candace. So tight. Don't come in her, E, says Dax. Aw, really? You heard him, says Mark. Shit.
Eric pummels my pussy a few more times, then pulls out.
Lift her up, Mark.
Mark grasps my arms and hauls me into an upright position, pushing his dick deeper into my ass. Eric jacks his cock a few times, then groans as hot white cum shoots out all over my stomach and breasts. I nearly come again myself, just from watching his face contort, his head falling back. I'm dropped onto Eric's torso as Mark rams his cock into my ass. I can feel it pulsing, his heat filling me, followed by the slick, gooey sensation of it between my cheeks as he gently pulls out.
Jesus Christ, Mark mutters. I can't fucking believe we just did that. Me neither, says Eric.
John flashes me a grateful smile from his lawn chair. I'm too exhausted to return it. Damp with sweat and sticky with cum.
All right, Dax says. Put her on her back. It's my turn.
Eric, Mark, and John all gape at him. What? I lift my head. He can't be serious. Fucking my daddy's friends is one thing. Being railed by the guy who practically helped raise me while his buddies watch is just too much. Isn't it?
Dude, says Mark. Are you sure you guys think I'm just gonna stand here and let you have all the action? No fucking way. Candace, get up so Eric can slide off the chair.
I can't move.
Now, he barks.
My limbs react on autopilot. Slinking to the bottom of the chaise, I wait until Eric is out of the way and then lie back down. Dax stalks toward me, his gaze dark. He unties the drawstring on his swim trunks, then pushes them down his thighs. His huge cock pops out, a lot bigger than Eric's, and slightly curved, and it's pointing straight at me.
You won't play by the rules, then this is what you get.
He grasps my ankles, spreading me wide as he kneels on the chaise and then shoves his cock into my pussy. I moan. He spears me, filling me up before I even know what's hit me. He sighs contentedly, a rare, wide smile on his handsome face.
Damn, sweetheart. You have no idea how hard it's been to watch you prance around the house in your underwear and not be able to do anything about it. Till now.
He starts to fuck me. My hands curl around the sides of the chaise as I gaze up into my late aunt's former husband's eyes. His pubic bone hits my clit just right with each thrust. My mind can't quite reconcile the pleasure I feel with the man who's giving it to me. Still, I can't stop rising to meet him, gritting my teeth as the pressure in my pussy mounts. Mark and Eric stand close by, watching my tits bounce and Dax pounding into me. John is still by the table, but even he can't take his eyes off the spectacle. Knowing they're watching me and Dax fuck turns me on far more than it should.
You like my fat cock tearing up your little pussy? Dax rasps.
Yes, I love it. I can't fucking believe it, but I love it. Being fucked by my dad's friends was exciting, but taking Dax's big, hard cock in my already tender pussy is even better. It's so good, I can hardly stand it. So good, I think I'm going to come. Oh, God, I moan. Dax, don't stop! Don't stop! He grinds his pelvis against me, pushing his cock as deep as it will go, putting more and more pressure on my clit. My pussy clamps down and then ripples around him. I'm coming. I'm coming so hard. I can feel it in my asshole, in my lower back, in my entire fucking body. Dax shouts, lifting my knees and forcing my thighs to meet my torso. He puts all his force into burying his cock deep inside me. I feel his dick throb, pumping spurt after spurt of cum into my pussy, filling me up with his tough love. A moment later, he pulls out, and Eric and Mark both crane their necks to see between my legs.
"Now that's a delicious cream pie," says Mark. "Seriously," says Eric. "Fucking impressive."
Dax stretches, his body gleaming in the sun, then walks straight over to the pool and dives in. Mark and Eric exchange glances, then jump in after him. They swim and splash each other like a bunch of rowdy kids who have just gotten away with something major. I can't help laughing. I feel a tap on my shoulder. "John."
"Come on, kiddo," he says. "Let's get you cleaned up."
He takes my hand and leads me to the steps so I don't have to attempt the ladder on unsteady legs. As soon as I step into the water, Eric, Mark, and Dax all swim over to me. The four of them take turns washing me, their touch both delicate and exploratory, their smiles kind. As soon as they're finished, we all climb out and dry off. "So," I say, when we're all settled around the glass table with beers and empty plates that had just recently held grilled meat and veggies. "Next time you all have a guy's night, can I come?" Dax pats my knee.
"Depends. Are you going to be a good girl and do as we say, without giving us any trouble?"
I pretend to consider his question. "Will my future punishments be as fun and satisfying as this one?"
"Parade your goods out in public again, and you'll find out," he says.
"Well, in that case," I stand and drop my towel. "How's this for a parade?" I prance in a slow circle around the table, touching each man's shoulder as I go. The four of them exchange glances, their eyes going dark.
"Oh, sweetheart," Dax grins. "Now you're really gonna get it."
This is In Too Deep by Margot Scott. Read for you by Heather Johns.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, lady listeners. Thank you so much to Margot Scott for bringing us In Too Deep. We are so grateful for this dirty, dirty book. Please come back anytime and do it again. All right, let's see what we've got up next week. We've got Melina Jacks. We have a book called Alpha Thief she's bringing us. So I can't wait to play that one. That'll be exciting. Speaking of alphas. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it. Oh, make sure you check out Margot Scott's new release. Like I said, it'll be up on February 15th. It's called Insincerity. And check out her giveaway for Sweetest Sins. For Alexa Riley, we have two books for the winter sale that might still be up for 99 cents. You can check our Instagram feed or our Facebook page. We'll have everything new posted up there too. So make sure you go check those out. But I think that's it.
I think so. So okay. Tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Read me romance.